Everyone. I suspect we all like heroes, don't we? And we've had a few of those quite recently. I was just conscious of just a couple of weeks ago, the Olympic people came back, Jason and Laura Kenny, with their amazing haul of medals. We have fundraisers like Captain Tom, sadly died, or courage in history like people like Nelson Mandela or Barack Obama, scientific achievements and heroes, Alexander Fleming and penicillin. And so there are so many. I'm really interested in heroes for a moment because what they do, I think anyway, is they bring hope. They bring a possibility of what could be. And they also often bring people together and often round a cause. They represent something to us, these heroes, a triumph of the human spirit and the mind. So the question I want to ask you this morning, who's your hero? And it's not rhetorical on this occasion, so at home as well, you can respond. Who's your hero? You don't have to say why, but just who it is. We've got lots of thoughts going on. Was that my brother, Paul? Thank you. Anybody else? It's an interesting question. It's not the sort of question you get asked, is it really? But there are people around who, if you really thought about it, you may not ever call them a hero, but they mean an enormous amount to you for who they are and maybe not always what they've accomplished. So today we continue with the story of Elijah. He was one of those biblical heroes, a little bit like Abraham and Moses. And he is a hero, both Elijah and Abraham, Moses, for both Jews and Christians alike. And unlike all those people that I mentioned earlier, what is important for us is not how historically accurate they are, these figures, because actually there's very little archaeological or historical evidence of them. But they are stories of heroes, of people who have brought hope to so many people. They brought hope to generations through history. And as you know, most of the biblical stories have been passed down by word of mouth. They weren't written, particularly those that we heard this morning about Elijah. What is it, 800 years before Christ? I mean, they will have just been passed on from generation to generation in that Jewish heritage. And they became to be really, really important for those people. Last week, if you recall, in the story of Elijah, Heather talked about those, amongst other things, but she talked about those small acts of kindness which flowed for the stories around that widow's son. Those acts which sometimes remain quite insignificant at the time, but actually mean a huge amount. And today what we're going to focus on is God bringing the possible out of the impossible. And that's our thought for today. Now, I won't go through the story of Elijah. It was read so brilliantly to us by Mike, so thank you for doing that, Mike. But it basically, just a summary, we have a stormy confrontation between Elijah and the king of that time, Ahab. Who was going to win the contest? Well, the story that's been passed down is, of course, Elijah. It's between Elijah's God, Yahweh, as it's often called in the Old Testament, and the gods of Baal or Baal. And the story is a vivid one, isn't it? The prophets of Baal and the lone figure of Elijah on Mount Carmel seeking to call down fire on a slaughtered bull. And of course, for the Baal prophets, it didn't happen, despite all their puffing and blowing and mutilation, self-mutilation, that is. But for Elijah, it did happen. And then to cap it all, it happened despite the water that soaked the wood around the offering. And the story didn't end there, as you remember. The three-year drought that Elijah predicted came to an end. Another victory for Elijah, bringing the possible out of the impossible. So what does this say to us today? Because in a sense, that's one of the things about stories, isn't it? They resonate with us. They somehow get a grip of us. And it's so what almost? So I'm wanting us to think about how God brings hope out of seemingly impossible situations. Pretty hard at the moment, isn't it, to see what good could come from the Afghanistan situation, from the recent Haiti earthquake. It was also pretty hard a year, 15 months ago, to see where those signs of hope were during that first COVID lockdown, where we didn't know much what was happening. There was no vaccine. It seemed pretty hopeless where there was death, there was a rampant virus, and hospitals overflowing. However, as we have moved through that time, what we have noticed, what I have noticed, is that there have been stories galore where there has been tragedy and adversity, but we see through it the triumph of the human spirit and God bringing hope for people. Do you know, one of the very positive things that I've noticed that's happened in this community here, in this church community, and particularly through Zoom, and it's continued since then, is that time at the beginning of the service where Heather asks, what have we got to be thankful for? I don't think I can remember a time when it's been silent. There's always been someone, even during the most dark times, the most difficult times, where you've been able just to say, well, actually, I'm really thankful for this. Really, really interesting. And I'm so glad that that's continuing, because there is something about just reminding ourselves about being thankful that gives energy to us, actually. So it's reminded us that hope and thankfulness overcomes tragedy. There are three things that I want to just sort of leave you with today when we think about this. The first is this, the importance of standing together. And that's another thing I've noticed about this church community here, how people have stood beside each other. And you've done that not just in the last 15 months, you've done it for years and years before that as well. I was reminded of another Old Testament story where the Israelites were fighting the Amalekites. And victory was assured only if Moses' hands were held high above the battlefield. Do you remember that story? And it was his colleagues, Aaron and Hur, two very close companions who supported his arms during that. This community here, I've noticed, gives enormous, genuine support to one another. Whether that's prayerful or practical, it's there. It's very evident to me. Just this new thing that we've started, the Growing Hope Charity, the financial giving to that as well has been quite remarkable. And of course, we are a group of individuals who don't all necessarily agree with one another. That, you know, that's what happens in a community, and particularly church communities for that, having been in many church communities over the years. And we may not all share the same views, but there's something that binds us together. And maybe that's God's Holy Spirit who brings us together, where some of those disagreements, those things which may pull us apart, actually bring us together in a way that is really so important. Of course, some of us here will be risk averse. It's inevitable. But also there'll be others in this community who will be all for change. We all have our different preferences. But through it all, our faith and love overrides these things. So there's something very important when we are thinking about that bringing possibility out of impossible situations, that we stand together in that. That's the first thing. The second thing is comes out of what I've been saying before, is the importance of storytelling. One of the things that ancient communities, what drew them together were the stories of all that had happened to them over the years. For the Israelites, it was the story of where God had been part of what they were doing. For the Christian community, it was the stories of Jesus, which eventually got written down into the Gospels, which kept them going. But in those first 50 years or so, there was very little other than those stories. I mean, we all know that stories are important, whether it's from a Christian perspective or not. I mean, what the first one that came to my mind was the story of Robin Hood. We know he wasn't a historical figure, but there was something about, you know, this person robbing the rich to give to the poor, which resounded with people, the world wide as such. None of these people can be historically evidenced, really, as I said. But don't underestimate the power of story, because they can bring so much encouragement and also warning as well. And the other thing we might want to think about as a church is the power of testimony as well. So one of the things that Heather tries to encourage us to do at the beginning of the service, not only say what are we thankful for, but just try to recognize where God's been doing things in our lives as well. Little things that where he's prompted us or changed us or given us some hope. And so maybe as we continue to do that, there'll be things that will actually happen for us. Then the final thing I'd want to say about thinking about the possible in when we are faced with difficult, impossible situations is the importance of growing in faith. And that's where the gospel reading comes in. Now, I put on the WhatsApp, the people at home, if they could find a seed and bring it with them. Now, Heather's got some in a little bowl, and she's going to go round and just give you these. And it's a visual, really, of something that I think is really quite powerful. So hopefully those at home have got your seed. If you haven't, it'll probably take a moment or two for Heather to get these seeds, because they're so tiny, they're very difficult to get hold of. So it gives you an opportunity to go and find one quick at home if you need one. And as you've got your seed, once you've got it, have a little look at it. And just picture that seed and what that seed could become. Just so people know, these are seeds which are vegetable seeds of vegetables I probably would never eat, so or never grow. Can't remember what they were now, but I think we're almost there. Kathy had pinched a few. Thank you. So we've all got one now, I think. What I just want us to focus on here is just to imagine, just to think about the power that's unleashed from a seed, that tiny little seed that's in your hand. What are the possibilities that come from that? Yes, of course it has to germinate, of course it does. But let's assume that germination happens, and then it grows. The parable that Jesus told, that is recorded in our Gospels, is this one where a seed is planted, and eventually you see the little seed popping out of the ground, the stalk, then there's the head and the full kernel. And that's really, really important to notice how faith, how things grow. When we're never going to be the finished article. as Christians. We are constantly growing in terms of where God would want us to be. Do you recall that other saying that Jesus said? If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you'd say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. That's from Luke's gospel. Again, that you have to imagine that is a mustard seed that you have in your hand. I mean, what a powerful illustration of the possibilities that are around for us. What this does is it encourages us to think beyond what is just possible. There's a proverb which I think is often taken out of context, where the writer says, where there's no vision, the people perish. And there's something for me there that is not, forget about the word perish, because what that's suggesting is, actually what's really important is that we have we have a vision, we have something of where we want to be, whether that's as an individual or us as a church. We need goals, we need something to aspire to. And I would say whatever our age on that, whether we're young or whether we're older, there is something important about us having something out there which we aspire to. So those are my kind of random thoughts this morning. And the conclusion I want to leave you, the takeaway, I guess, is about us enlarging our vision of what is of what might be possible for us. And that parable of the growing seed says, we don't need to be right at the end here. We don't need the full kernel. We can take the first step. And those are the things which I think that stretch is really, really important for us. And that's what I want to leave you with, really, what that stretch might be for you as an individual, for me, and what it might be for us as a church, how we move forward, that stretch from what is normal to what might be possible. Amen.